Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, John Lomparis, the director of the United Methodist Action Program at the Institute on Religion and Democracy. So the second largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. has worked up a tentative plan for splitting over LGBT marriage. The Bible's pretty clear on the issue of homosexual relationships. John, how did we get to this place in our nation?
The denomination itself has not endorsed or prepared this plan. This was a group of several leaders that has put this together as a proposal, and the details are still being hammered out. In our denomination, the way things work, nothing can be final until it is either approved or rejected by our general conference, which normally meets once every 4 years, and the next time it meets will be this May in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Thank you for explaining that. And how do you feel like we got here having this discussion at all in our country?
Yes, we're also a global denomination. About half of our members are now in the USA, roughly. That portion keeps shrinking, and most of the rest of our members overseas are in sub-Saharan Africa, and that's been really key to how the United Methodist Church, unlike some other denominations, has stayed biblical in our official teachings. But if we talk about our country, America, as a whole, we evangelicals sometimes can tend to have an idealized view of the past. But when you really study U.S. history, you can look at everything from what percentage of Americans were actually church members to societal acceptance of such sinful practices as the brutality of American slavery, to see that our society and every other one on earth has never had any shortage of unfaithfulness, even if the specific issues change from one generation to the next. In terms of LGBTQ activism, in the late 1980s, you saw some openly talk about seeking to take over some believed to be vulnerable mainline Protestant denominations for their cause. And the thinking seems to have been that if Americans are not only being told a liberal party line about marriage and sexuality by the political establishment, by the media establishment, and by the educational establishment, then they also look around and they see a number of prominent religious groups also endorsing this liberal party line, then it really paints this powerful picture that can make anybody who's still holding on to traditional biblical values look pathetically out of touch.
Now, just last year, church members voted, I believe this was at the annual conference, to stick with traditional views on marriage.
Yes. Annual conference refers to something else that's very specific in our system, but last year, we had been fighting every general conference, which normally meets every 4 years, since the 1970s over homosexuality. And so then there was a specially called session that was supposed to have resolved our conflicts once and for all. And I was a delegate there, and I and others voted to hold on to traditional standards and to strengthen accountability for clergy who violate our ban on same-sex unions.
Yeah, well, apparently that vote didn't hold. What happened?
There has been this wave of resistance, and the overwhelming majority of bishops in the United States have been strongly opposed to a traditional direction on these matters. There's been this increasing disobedience of people openly breaking our rules banning same-sex unions in some places. And sometimes there's accountability where sometimes ministers are removed from ministry. And then there's a cycle of backlashes that go back and forth, that it's just increasing recognition that it's better for us to separate into two or more denominations where we can stop fighting each other and then pursue our visions of ministry without being held back by others that are in our own church.
As you said earlier, this one group within the United Methodist Church, they are hoping to bring this vote in May. If the plan becomes official, what will that look like for current members?
The likely result would be two denominations. There would be one United Methodist denomination that would embrace clergy being in homosexual relationships at every level of leadership of the church, that would affirm same-sex unions and would give congregations no right to say that they don't want to have a pastor who's in a same-sex relationship. Then there would be another denomination that's tentatively being called the Traditional Methodist Church that would continue to hold on to biblical standards. And the main geographic unit in our denomination is called an annual conference. The whole state of Indiana, that's one annual conference. So there's about 60 of these annual conferences in the United States, and there's several dozen overseas. Each annual conference would have the opportunity to take a vote. Do they want to go with the traditional denomination or the liberal denomination? And one of several things of this deal that is just clearly very unfair is that if an annual conference takes a vote to say, which side do we want to align with? If the liberal side gets 44% of the vote, then that annual conference gets taken over for the liberal side and goes with the liberal denomination. But in order to have an annual conference go with the conservative denomination, it would require a 57% supermajority. Then after that, every local congregation within each annual conference could take a vote, and there's provisions for leaders in each congregation to have some say in terms of how the congregation would vote or if it would vote. But the political reality is, given all the prominent support behind this plan, it looks likely that some version of this is going to pass.
That's John Lomparis at the Institute on Religion and Democracy. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.